Today I want to read to you from the book of Exodus, chapter 14. It's about the crossing of the Red Sea. The passage is a little bit longer than I normally read on Sunday mornings, but I think it's necessary for us to look at the whole length of this passage because there's information there that helps us to understand the whole story. So as I read this, listen to what happens. I want you to, let me set the stage for you first. The plagues have already happened in Egypt, and the Hebrew children have come out of Egypt. And now Pharaoh has decided that he has done wrong as far as letting the Israelites go. And he realizes that he had just let his whole workforce go. So he sends his army after them. They are now backed up at the Red Sea. There's no way across. And this is where we join the passage. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians.' It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let us get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Israelites were fleeing, or the Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites in the sea. Not one of them survived. Then the Israelites went through the sea, but the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. What an incredible story. What an absolutely incredible story of what God did for the Israelites. They're released from Egypt, and they're trying to get away, and they come to the Red Sea, and they can't get across. Now, the funny thing for me is, I hope you find the humor in the passage. Please, there is humor in the Bible. Look for it. Because there's humor in this passage. What do the Israelites say? Why have you led us out of Egypt? We told you we didn't want to do that. Did you lead us out here? There were plenty of graves back there. Moses, why'd you do this? If you go back and read the stories before this, that's not what the people were saying. They were coming to Moses and complaining over and over and over again. When is God going to do something for us? When is God going to do something? When is God going to save us? And now they get saved, and now they're going to Moses and saying, look what you did. You have led us, and we are backed up, and we are in a corner, and we can't go anywhere. Please remember that as you walk the spiritual journey, there will be times of struggle when your back is against the wall. On the spiritual journey, there will be times of struggle, and your back's going to be against the wall. And where you are in the midst of your journey at that time, you're going to feel like there's nowhere else that I can go. The Red Sea's on this side, and it looks impossible to get across. And here on this side is the Egyptian army with all the chariots and the horsemen and all the armor and the weapons. Anybody can look and see what's going to happen, right? Folks, when you're on a spiritual journey, there is going to be struggles. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. If you watch some of these preachers on TV that tell you that it's always going to be a rose garden and everything's going to be great for you and you're going to have nothing but blessings and God's going to overwhelm you with so many things, in a way that's true. But what they don't tell you is that there are going to be struggles too. And I want to prepare you for those struggles, because those struggles are going to happen. I've been walking with the Lord since about 1981. Have there been struggles on the way? Most definitely. Over and over and over again. Have there been struggles even during times when I feel like I've been released from something? Just as the Israelites were? Yes, there were struggles. Don't let anybody fool you and tell you there's not going to be struggles on the spiritual journey. You see, as the Israelites were there, they're counting all their options. Let's see, we could surrender. Probably not going to go well with us. By the way, the one part of the passage that doesn't, it speaks of an army of Israelites. They don't really have an army. The Egyptians have an army. They've got all the latest cutting-edge weapons. And the Israelites have just been released. Who knows? Maybe they got a hoe. Maybe they've got a shovel. Maybe they've got a pick or something, but probably not. And I also want you to realize the size of what's going on. The size of what's going on, there's 600,000 plus Israelites standing on the edge of the Red Sea. 600,000 plus. In their day and age, they normally only counted the men. So if we counted only the men today, our attendance would be quite small, right? But normally that's the way they did it. There's 600,000 plus standing there trapped with their back against the Red Sea, seeing the greatest army of their time barreling down on them. They're going through their options. What can we do? You see, when we review our options on the spiritual journey, especially when our back is against the wall, God may have one that we don't think of, or even one that we think is not possible. God may have an option that we don't think of. Okay? I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I know that. But sometimes I can convince myself otherwise. The Israelites weren't trying to convince themselves otherwise at this time. They knew their options were limited. And God had one plan that they didn't think about. And if you got them all here with their backs against the Red Sea, imagine somebody came up and said, "Hey, you know what? I think God's getting ready to part the Red Sea so we can walk across." How many of those 600,000 people are going to go, "Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's going to happen"? I bet every one of them is going to go, "I've never seen that happen before, and I don't think it's going to happen today." Not an option that's going to work. Not an option that we thought of. But an option that does happen. You see, the pillar of fire and cloud stands between them and the Egyptian army, guarding them, keeping the Egyptian army from them, while Moses raises his staff and the waters part. I mean, look at that. Could you imagine what that would be like if that happened? Could you imagine what that would be like? For over 30-some-odd years, I lived on the shore of the Chesapeake Bay. To be able to see something like that on the Chesapeake Bay, and I could walk across to the eastern shore, that would baffle me. And I might not be willing to step in the middle of those waters. How about you? Moses raises his staff and the waters part. And it becomes dry ground because of the wind that blows through it. And Moses looks at the people and says, "Come on, let's go." How many of you are going to go, "Uh-uh"? Be honest with yourself. Okay? Be honest with yourself. From where I grew up on the Chesapeake Bay at a place called Chicks Beach, it was 17 and a half miles across to the eastern shore. If a way parted there, do I have enough faith to walk 17 and a half miles on dry ground with waters on either side? I don't know. There'd be a lot of questioning in my mind going on. Imagine walking across there and watching the fish swim through the water. Come on, let's be real. Or watch the sharks swim through the water. And God says, go. You see, sometimes God comes up with an option we didn't think of, and one that we did not even think could be possible. So there will come a moment when you must trust God and just step forward. There's going to become a moment where you have got to put your complete trust on God, and you've just got to take a step. Spent some time thinking again about this morning. What if the Israelites didn't take a step? Do you realize the whole Bible would probably be different? That nation wouldn't have lasted. God provided a way, but they had to take a step. They had to put some action into believing in God. Folks, when we're backed up against the wall and God provides a way out, or God provides a way forward, we got to take a step. Got to take a step. There will come that time that you've got to decide, I'm going to walk that path. No matter how dangerous it looks, no matter how scary it is, I got to walk that path. Because that's what God's provided. Through over 30 years of walking with God, because there was a time that I walked away. Through over 30 years of walking with God, I want to let you know that oftentimes you do not see how God's plan works out until later. Think about this. The Israelites take that path. Well, what's to keep the Egyptians from taking the same path? And we're still in the same situation. There's 600,000 of us, plus women and children. I can't even imagine having a toddler on this day. Can you? Think about that for a minute. Ty, you teach a bunch of little kids, and they're everywhere all at once, aren't they?
Like herding cats.
Herding cats. Can you see the little toddlers? Look, a fish. No, we got to go. The Egyptians are barreling down on us. We got to go. Not a day for herding cats. Not a day for herding cats. It's not until later that the Israelites found out what God's plan was. It says that God looks down from atop of the pillar of fire and cloud and confuses the Egyptian army. And the dry ground turns into mud again, and they get stuck and they can't do anything. And the Egyptians realize God is fighting for the Israelites. We've got to get out of here. And where we came from is closer than where they're going. But it does them no good. It says that they all drowned. The greatest army of the time, with the best weapons of the time, and the best equipment, and the best soldiers of the time, is completely annihilated. And the Israelites stand on the shore and watch it happen. And it says that the shore is loaded with the dead. Horses and men. Can you imagine that sight? Because the waters collapsed in upon them. So sometimes you've got to trust God and you've got to take the step. The way is already prepared. It's already there. And you've got to take a step. And you will most likely not know how it's going to work out until much later. Think about that. You got to take a step before you know what's going to happen. I had no idea I would end up in Withfield, Virginia when I took the first step to decide that I was going to follow God's calling to be a pastor. No idea. Didn't know I would end up at Petersburg first, and then in South Hill, and now in Withfield. There's a few towns west of here, so maybe, I don't know, God might still be moving me across Virginia for all I know. And by the end of my life, I might end out at Cumberland Gap. Hope not. I like being here. You see, we never know how it's going to work out. There's one more important thing about God providing a way. That important thing is about telling and celebrating what God does will be important for others to be able to recognize the greatness of God. Telling and celebrating about what God does is going to be important for other people, not just for us. It's going to be important for other people. How do we know about what happened at the Red Sea? Somebody told. It wasn't the Egyptians. It was the people who experienced God at that moment. It was the people that passed it on to their children time and time again. And passed it on to their neighbors that they might learn. You see, telling and celebrating is important about what God does. Because otherwise, other people aren't going to recognize the greatness of God. I'm not bashful to tell you about my mistakes that I made in my life. Some of them were horrible mistakes. But it's important for me to tell you that God brought me through them. It was not me. I didn't pull myself up by my bootstraps and get through it all. God's the one that got me through it. God's the one that provided the way. God's the one that opened up the sea that I could walk. God's the one that swallowed up what was chasing me. God did that. And I'm incredibly thankful for that. Some of the Egyptians that were chasing me, I haven't seen them in over 20 years. They're gone. They're gone. Because of what God did. Not what I did, what God did. And I need to let other people know that because there are people in our world that have Egyptians chasing them and they don't know how to get away. And folks, if we don't tell them what God can do, they may never get away from their Egyptians. I want to read that one verse for you again because it's a verse I've held on to since the early 80s and 90s. Moses answered the people, verses 13 and 14. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. Wow. But you got to walk the path that may look incredibly scary. You got to walk the path. You got to trust God to work it out. Maybe you don't know how to hear God. It's time to learn how to listen. Maybe somebody in your lifetime told you, you got two ears and one mouth so that you can do what? That you can listen more than you talk? In your prayer life, do you listen more than you talk? Are you listening for what God's saying to you about the way that's prepared in front of you? Maybe you've never heard God speak for the first time and tell you that you need to come and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the only way that that path starts. There is no other way. You have to come and confess that you're a sinner. You have to recognize that you can't save yourself. And you have to believe in what Jesus Christ has already done for you on the cross. And you got to make a commitment to it. Just believing it and knowing the fact is not enough. You've got to make a commitment to say, Lord, I'm going to walk this path. Trusting you, accepting what Jesus Christ did for me. Folks, I'm so willing to tell you that God is preparing the way in front of us. That God is preparing in front of us a way for this church to be incredibly dynamic in the town of Withville. In such a way that we're helping people come to Christ and seeing new believers and new disciples. God has already prepared that way. Now you got to take a step. Now you got to trust and take a step. Because I clearly see the paths already prepared. It may look like this, and you may say, I'm scared, and Pastor, that's outside my comfort zone. That would be outside my comfort zone. 20, 30 foot walls of water on either side of you at least. That's outside my comfort zone. But there's only one way. So here's the question I want you to think about this week, and as Kathy plays the postlude, I want you to think about this question. Are you willing to look for God's path ahead for spiritual growth and then step? Are you willing to look for God's path ahead for spiritual growth and then step? Right now, it's up to you. Let's pray. Lord, what a blessing it is to know that you are a God that has already prepared the way. Now what's required is that we believe what you've done for us. Whether we take that first step in trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, or whether, Lord, we've done that so many years ago that it's kind of fuzzy in our minds. Help us to take that step again. Help us to make an incredible commitment. No matter how scary the path might seem, to take a step and to watch you to continue to prepare the way in front of us for spiritual growth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.